little girl. Jay, if you could put that picture of that little girl up there. When you know, when it's Sunday night like tonight, internally you will be reacting a little bit like this little girl. Right? We won't express it externally, but internally we're like, nah, oh no. Or what about when you're in work and you're through the week and you wake up in the morning? By the morning you look like this, and by 5 o'clock you're like, ah, you know, you feel like a zombie, right? It's just hard work. And then what happens is that we've been working all week, and then what happens is that we're only working for the weekend, and we're worshiping Friday, we're worshiping Saturday and Sunday, and we feel like Willem Wallace, freedom, right? This is kind of that mentality that we wrestle with, and that work is horrible. That our job place, our vocation, and our workplace is this horrible place that it's like, oh, man. You know, and especially even now as summer's officially over, it's just like that back to the salt mines, you know, back to the daily grind. Here we go again. This everyday, stagnant, autonomous routine of survival. Doesn't it feel like that sometimes? We have this approach, and then we all become victims of the clock watcher syndrome. When you're at work and you're just like, when the heck am I getting out of this place, right? I think we all sometimes feel this way, and you work for the weekend. And I wonder if we worship the weekend at times. We worship our freedom, that time off, so that we can be who we want to be and do what we want to do. But we find in the Word of God this profound message and challenge for all of us in Ecclesiastes. And it's a message that is 3,000 years old, but the author is writing about something that you and I have been forced to think about all our lives. And he embraces our frustrations about labor. He embraces the vanity of life. And he's expressing his feelings that if we're honest, many of us wrestle with at times when we go to our workplaces. Is there really any meaning to this at all? What's the point of all this? You know, going in and day out, just sweating my brow, just killing it, knocking it out. For what? For what purpose? What? I'm not getting any recognition. I'm sure as heck not getting any more money. Right? Why am I doing this? What is the point of all this? But the author here, the Word of God, he shares with us something so profound. And so we're going to look in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. And this is going to be quite a challenge for all of us this morning, because I know for a fact that it's challenged me, because I'm coming off of a two-week vacation. And I'll be honest with you, coming back to work was not a joy. I wasn't like, yeah, let's do it, right? Let's do it. So in chapter 3, verses 9 through 13, it says this. What does the worker gain from his toil? I've seen the burden that God has laid on man. He has made everything beautiful in his time, and he's also set eternity in the hearts of men. Yet they cannot fathom what God has done from beginning to end. I know that there is nothing better for men than to be happy and do good while they live, that everyone may eat and drink, and find satisfaction in all his toil. This is the gift of God. What? I know that that's where I'm going to leave it there. That everyone may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all his toil. This is the gift of God. Turn over to chapter 5 real quick in verses 18 through 20. The author kind of repeats himself and he elaborates just a little bit more. And he says, then I realized that it is good and prosper for a man to eat and drink and find satisfaction in his toilsome labor under the sun during the few days of life that God has given him. For this is his lot, or this is his heritage. This is what has been given to him. Moreover, when God gives any man wealth, possessions, and enables him to enjoy them, to accept his lot and be happy in his work, this is a gift of God. And then he seldom reflects on the days of his life. Why? Because God keeps him occupied and with joy in his heart. God keeps him occupied with joy in his heart. How many of you want to be occupied with the joy of the Lord in your heart all the time? Yeah. There's nothing like experiencing and counting the joy of the Lord. And here the author is saying, be joyful and take pleasure in all your toil and all your labor. And so what we're challenged with this morning is our approach and our attitude to work. Our perspective about our vacation is going to be challenged this morning. Do you find yourself dissatisfied at work? Do you find yourself, or just in general, dissatisfied in life and what God has given you and put before you? Are you dissatisfied with where you're at? And what opportunities that you don't feel like you're getting? Has frustration and discontent with where you are and what you do led to apathy in your life or atrophy? Or you just kind of like give up and say, this is the way it is and this is going to forever just stink, right? Here's what I want you to take away this morning. Is you will find satisfaction and you will find true meaning in your workplace when you cheerfully accept that it came from the very hand of God. You will find satisfaction and true meaning in your workplace or in life in general. You could apply this to anything that you're toiling in. When you cheerfully accept that it actually came from the very hand of God to you. The job that you have been given has been given to you by God. That's what the author here is saying. He says, I've seen that what God has given to man, the work and the burden that God has given to man. He says, in other words, your vocation, your job, what you do on a day-to-day basis, the salt mines, the daily grind, going to work, 9 to 5, is a God-given task that he's assigned to you. It's a God-given task that he's assigned to you. And he goes on to say that you and I have been, we have this ability to see the good in our labor, to rejoice and to take pleasure in our toil. Now, the word toil here that the author is using means just that. When you think of toil, it means toil, right? It is labor intensive. It is difficult. It is frustrating. The author makes no attempt to beat around the bush here. He's not trying to make it something that it's not. The word toil is actually something that is not naturally enjoyable. It's toil, right? It's like this stinks. It's frustrating. It's hard. It's difficult, right? It's toil. But the profound thing that the author, the Word of God here is saying to us is that you can find joy and take pleasure in that which is not naturally enjoyable. You can enjoy and take joy in the fact of something that is not naturally enjoyable. In all your labor, in all your toil, you can find joy and satisfaction in it. How many of you know that that's great news? That is great news. There is nothing better for you and I, he says. There's nothing better for you and I than to be joyful and take pleasure in our toil. This is God's gift to you. Amen. This is God's gift to you. Yeah, well, that's all good and well, Pastor, but you don't know my workplace. You don't know the people I have to deal with. You don't know what I've got to go through on a daily basis. How am I supposed to find joy in that? Let me ask you something. Does God go to work with you every day? And that's a serious question. Does God go to work with you every day? Do you wake up? Does he wake up with you? And does he participate in your day with you? Is God at work with you? Many people do not take God to work with them. I'm amazed at how many people do not bring God to work with them. It's almost like he's separate from their occupation. There's a separate entity where God is in my personal life. He's that personal person in my life who I live for and I'm devoted to and I believe in. But when I step into my workplace and I step into my job, it's like there's this separation, that this disconnection where my workplace is where I have to toil and outside of work is where God can be a part of. Or if God is just a part of my Sundays or my weekends, or just that I give God time on my weekends. But you see, if you look at life, if you and I look at life in general or our workplaces as a series of events that are disconnected from God, how can any of us possibly find any satisfaction in that? If we view our workplace and our job and our life as a series of events that this is God over here and everything I encounter in life and what I have, my workplace and where I make money and all that stuff, if that's disconnected, how can anyone possibly find satisfaction in that? Because God is the source of your satisfaction. If God does not come to work with you, if he's not employed with you, then absolutely that you're going to worship the weekend. You're going to toil only for a paycheck. And meanwhile, you find yourself internally discouraged and dissatisfied and disgruntled. But life without God is boring and it's empty. Your job, your workplace, your vocation without God is going to be profitless and purposeless. But if we fail to see that the sovereign connection of God in our labor, if we fail to see that he has provided and planted you exactly where you are, then you will absolutely look upon your labor through the lens of discontent and dissatisfaction, if it's separate. And then your job becomes this burden where you're like that little girl and like, I can't believe I have to go back to work again. And you're desperately seeking to get out of it. And you go to work and you're disgruntled and you're complaining and you're disagreeing with coworkers just for the sake of disagreeing. And you're sarcastic with people and just because that's hiding the anger and the frustration that's deep inside of you. What I'm trying to get at this morning is that there cannot be a disconnect here. There cannot be a disconnect. This is essentially the theme of Ecclesiastes, that only in God does life have meaning and true pleasure. Only in God does life have true meaning and pleasure. Without him, nothing will satisfy. If God is not at your workplace, you will not be satisfied. If God does not come to work with you, if he's not with you all day long through your labor, then you're not going to be satisfied because he is your source of all satisfaction. He is your source of fulfillment. He is your source of everything that you need and pleasure and meaning. In God, in Christ, we find satisfaction and enjoyment. There is nothing better for you and I, he says, than for you to be joyful and take pleasure in your toil, in that which is difficult and frustrating and hard. This is God's gift to mankind. This is God's gift to mankind. Imagine for just a second how much time you spend at work, right? Well, some of us work 40 hours a week, but I know there's a lot of people in here that work 60, 70, 80 hours a week. You know what I mean? That we toil. And imagine if God is not with you, how many hours of the day God is not with you? How many hours of the day that God is not investing in helping you and working with you and being a part of what you're doing? Our God, this personal relationship we have is a restoration of God with man at all times. To be with you through the thick and the thin. To be with you from the peaks of the mountain to the lowest of valleys. When you're difficult, when it's difficult and drudgerous at work, he's with you. There is nothing better for you and I than to be joyful and take pleasure in all of our toil. This is God's gift to man. But the ability to enjoy earthly labor does not come from you. The ability to enjoy your work does not come from you. You cannot will yourself to be joyful and take pleasure in your toil because it's toil, man. Right? You cannot will yourself. This week, I could not will myself to come back to work as much as I did try. I wanted to come back to work. I wanted to get back to studying. I wanted to get back to getting back to things that I've left for 2 weeks. I wanted to get back to preaching, but I did not want to. And I tried to will myself, and I will try to will myself. But here's what I've learned, and I understood, that you can never will yourself to be joyful and take pleasure in your toil. It is futile until we commit our work to the Lord. Until you offer it back up to him and pour it back out to him as a living sacrifice. God, you've given me this job. You've given me this vocation. You've given me what I have. You have blessed me, God. And so I will find joy in it when we commit it back to him and say, God, I don't work for myself. I'm not working for my boss. I'm not working for my employer. I'm not working for my coworkers. I'm working to bring glory to you in all I do. That is my job. That is my purpose. And I will find joy in that, that everything I do is for you, to bring glory to you. I don't care if you wipe butts for a living. I don't care if you clean toilets. I don't care if you're a CEO. I don't care if you drive countless hours in traffic. every sector of our lives is to bring glory to God. And so our work no longer exists as a means for us to survive. But it becomes a platform in which we allow the Lord of our life to be evident in all we do and for all to see. How many of you know that we can truly, truly knock out our witness for Christ in our workplace sometimes? How many of you know that? We could absolutely just dismantle our witness and testifying that God is my Lord and my Savior and that He's done a transformational work of grace in my life at our workplace because of our attitude and our approach to it. And so we have to make a choice every day to bear the fruit of joy. That's pretty much what it comes down to. It's aligning myself up with the joy of the Lord. And I'm making a choice to bear the fruit of joy in our toil. No longer toiling for you, but you are toiling for Him. You're laboring for God. Your attitude and your approach to your work is not for you. It is for God to bring Him glory, to have joy in that for all to see. Everyone knows that it's toil. Everyone, all your coworkers know that it's toil. Your employer knows that it's toil. It's labor. It's not peaches and cream, right? Unless you play golf for a living. I mean, that's the job to have, you know what I mean? But most of us, none of us, play golf for a living, right? So this joy, it cannot be manufactured. It cannot be something that we stage, something that we just will into being. Today, I'm going to be joy. But it is a committing of your day, of your work, of all that God has put before you and blessed you with, and saying, God, I commit it to you. And I don't know how, and I don't know the way in which you're going to do this, but I believe, Lord God, that when I choose to your joy in this, and I choose to work for you and to commit it to you and to pour it back to you and to give it back to you, which you've given back to me, and to be joyful in my toil, I believe, God, that it has some eternal significance. You have to know that. That when you commit your work to the Lord, it has eternal significance. And I could not tell you exactly what that looks like. I just know that that's the word of God. When you align yourself with joy of the Lord in your workplace, and you approach it with joy and take pleasure in what God has given you to do in your toil, and you commit it to Him, I don't know how. But I do know, and I believe the word of God that says somehow, some way, it has eternal significance. If you allow that to take root, it will change your perspective of going to work every single day. And no longer is it about dissatisfaction and discontent. It's about, man, I don't know how it's going to all work out, God, but I'm going to take joy in my toil because I'm working for you. I'm working for your glory, for your honor. Let me share with you just a word of warning. Beware of comparing yourself and what you do for a living with somebody else. Beware of comparing your gift, the blessing and the vocation and the occupation that God has blessed you with somebody else's blessing. Beware of measuring what God has given to you with what He's given to someone else. Because you see, what happens is that when we begin to compare ourselves with other people and take our eyes off of what God has given us to do and to stay in our lane, when we take our eyes off of our lane and the race that God has given us, we take our eyes off and we take our eyes off of our source of satisfaction. We take our eyes off of our source of fulfillment in what we're doing. And so you begin to compare yourself to this person and to that person, and it looks like this person's way ahead and that person's way ahead, and you're like, oh, at least I'm better off than these people, or at least these people. Well, these people are running a little further than me. If that is a very dangerous thing to do, because your eyes are taken off of your source of satisfaction and fulfillment, and then you begin to get a hard heart. This is a sure way to have a hard heart and discontentment. You see, discontentment and dissatisfaction are temptations that are tossed your way. Dissatisfaction and discontentment is temptation that is tossed your way. Discontentment tells us that what we have and what we do for a living is just not enough. It's not good enough. I don't have enough. not enough fulfillment in this. Doesn't make enough money. Discontentment tells us that we're not where God wants us to be. As if we look at our past and we see, man, I made a few wrong mistakes and I don't think that this is where God wants me to be. Discontentment tells us that we're not able to be fulfilled in what we're doing. They're not the truth. They are lies. Because the enemy knows that if he can get you to despise and loathe what you do on an everyday basis, if he can get you to take your eyes out of your own lane, the lane that God has given every single one of us an individual race to run, if he can get his eyes to take your eyes off of that and get discontent with comparing yourself to others, then he knows that you will not be able to live effectively for the kingdom of God in your workplace. And your witness will be taken out. And that is his strategy. That's what he wants. And he'll know that you've been taken out of the game. And then it begins, this discontentment and this dissatisfaction, it just begins to manifest itself in your workplace. And we all know what this looks like, right? When that discontentment and that frustration and dissatisfaction begins to manifest itself in the way you treat your coworkers or the thoughts that you have, the homicidal thoughts you have about your boss, right? Those are not thoughts that honor God. And it begins to take root, and there's this bitterness and there's this dissatisfaction that begins to take root, and it can wreak havoc. Yeah, well, you can say that because you're the pastor. You know, you got a pretty good gig as a pastor. Well, let me tell you something. If anyone is tempted to be discontent and dissatisfied, it's me. I can't tell you how often the temptation comes to compare myself with other pastors and to compare this church with other churches. I can't tell you how often that temptation comes up. But if I allow that to take root, I lose complete perspective of what I'm doing and the call that God has on my life, and that my job is to toil for the Lord. This is a toiling job. I toil. And if I allow it to take root, I lose perspective, and then that discontent will wreak havoc on me. You see what I'm saying? And I think the problem that arises that from when we're all seeking to pursue human fulfillment in our work, I think this is where the problem arises. This dissatisfaction, this discontent, is when we do take our eyes off of taking joy in what God has given us to do in our toil and taking pleasure in that. And it all becomes about fulfilling ourselves in our own work. You see, if you are toiling for yourself, whether it be for a paycheck so that you can buy things that you think that'll make you more happy, or whether you're toiling for yourself so that you can get a raise, or if you're just toiling for yourself so that you can get a promotion, or if you're just toiling for yourself to just get recognition and appreciation in your workplace, just so your boss can see that you've been working hard. That's toiling for yourself. All of these roads lead to meaninglessness and dissatisfaction. You see, if you try to satisfy yourself with a blessing from God, it will corrupt you. Did you hear that? If you try to satisfy yourself with the blessing that God has given you, it will corrupt you. It will corrupt you. When God has given you a blessing and he's provided you with the job and the occupation that you have at this place, at this time in eternity, it's where God wants you. God's will for your life is exactly where he has you right now. It's God's will for your life. And if we take the satisfaction, if we take this blessing from God and we choose to use it for our own satisfaction, it begins to corrupt our heart. But what we must do is commit it to the Lord. Commit our job to the Lord. Pour it out to him as a sacrifice. God, today I don't work for myself. I don't work for a raise, a promotion. I don't work for the praise of man. I don't work for recognition from my boss. Lord God, today I'm going to toil. And it's going to be difficult and it's going to be hard, but I'm going to find joy and fulfillment and satisfaction, and I'm going to take pleasure in this toil because I know it came from you, and I know that if I take joy and pleasure and if I'm aligning myself with this joy of yours in my work, then you will get the glory, and somehow, some way, this will have eternal significance. And And that is where fulfillment and meaning really comes from. But until we commit our work to the Lord, until we sacrifice it out and pour it out to Him as an offering, it actually will endanger those who you love as well as yourself. Because what happens is that it turns into lust. When you look for, did you know that you can lust after things that are not just vile and things? You can lust for things that you didn't think you could lust for. And you find out that you end up lusting for appreciation. I gotta have it. I gotta have appreciation. And you begin to lust for recognition. You begin to lust for fulfillment. You begin to lust for satisfaction in what you're doing. You begin to lust for a better situation than where God has you right now. And it becomes a danger. Oswald Chambers once said, this is profound, listen to this, that if you have become bitter and sour, it's because when God gave you a blessing, you hoarded it. I'm going to say that again. That if you have become bitter and sour, it's because when God gave you a blessing, you hoarded it. You took it for yourself. He goes on, he says, if you're always keeping blessings to yourself and never learning to pour it out to the Lord, other people will never have their vision of God expanded through you. Whoa. I'm going to say that one again too. If you're always keeping blessings to yourself and never learning to pour it out to the Lord, other people around you, your coworkers, your employers, your home life, whatever it is, they will never have their vision of God expanded through you. Let that sink in this week. Let that sink in this week. I think what God is challenging us to do today is to maintain His perspective in our toil. To maintain His perspective in our toil. It's not about God giving you a job and then zapping you with the joy you need to get through that job. But this is where the eternal fellowship with God is demonstrated on earth. Our eternal fellowship with God demonstrated on earth is when you and I choose to take on His joy and to bear the fruit of His joy and to express His joy in our labor. That's how the world's going to see and have their vision of God expanded through you. It's all about bearing the fruit of the Spirit within you. And what I love about the fruit of the Spirit is the stuff that you can grow in, you know? You may not have a lot of joy today, but if you commit it to the Lord and say, God, I'm going to choose joy today. Help me to grow in joy today. Help me to see the good in my labor today. Help me to see the good in my coworkers and in my employer. Help me to see the good in this blessing that you have provided for me, other than just recognition and the paycheck and finances and the material things. God, let me see the good in it. Let me see the good in it. And when you and I demonstrate this fruit in our toil, somehow, some way, it has eternal significance. And I think that is something that we need to remind ourselves and take away with us today. Don't expect your toil to have eternal significance if you're toiling for yourself or if you're disgusted or disgruntled with your job. That's not laboring for the glory of Jesus Christ. We don't labor for a paycheck, a raise, or promotion. We, as believers in Jesus Christ, we labor, we toil for the glory of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. It changes our whole perspective, doesn't it, on our jobs. It no longer is about your job being this arduous, meaningless daily grind, but now your job becomes the very work that God has appointed you for, to experience and manifest His joy in the world. And that is special. And that is good news. Let's pray. As we pray, just make this your own prayer. Don't just make this, you know, the prayer that I'm praying, but make this your own prayer to the Lord. Just start by in your heart thanking Him for the blessing of your job. Thank you, Lord, for the occupations that you have given us. Lord, I thank you for the means to provide for our families. Lord God, I thank you that you have given us work to do. Lord, we know that work comes from you. You're a worker. And Lord, we thank you for the work that you have given us to do. Lord, forgive me. Forgive me for being discontent and dissatisfied with what you've assigned to me, this God-given task that you have assigned to me. Forgive me, Lord, for taking advantage of it, for taking this blessing and hoarding it for myself and lusting after things for my own gain and my own benefit. Lord God, forgive us. Lord, right now we repent. We repent, Lord God. We turn away from this attitude. And Lord, we recommit ourselves, our jobs, our workplace, our effort, our thought processes at work. Lord, we commit this to you again, right now. Lord, help us to not to see it as a daily grind, but Lord, to see it as a day and an opportunity in which we can express and manifest your Spirit to the world around us. Lord, I ask that every person in this room would expand, would be able to show their co-workers and their employers, Lord God, that their vision of who you are would be expanded because of their attitude and their perspective of their job and their workplace, Lord. Lord, we cannot do this on our own. It has to be a work of your Spirit in us. So, Lord, we surrender it all to you right now. We give back the blessing that you have given to us, Lord God, and we want you to be glorified in our toil. We want you to be glorified, that your name would be made high and famous through our labor on a day-to-day basis. We give it all to you. We surrender it all to you once again. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 How about that? Yeah. I'm believing that this is going to change a lot of people's witness at workplace. And right now, the next week and throughout the course of the winter, we're going to be looking at discipleship. And I'm believing that this is all going to come into play, that we're going to be discipling people at work that we never thought we were going to be discipled because they see a change in us at work. Amen? Amen. God bless you guys. Let him be with you. Let his face shine upon you. Have some fellowship over there in the cafe. Stay in fellowship with one another. Bless you. Love you. See you next week.
Told oceans where to start and where to end. You set in motion time.